Greetings from our many missionaries serving around the world, and wasn't it nice to see Andy and Kay this morning. If you're new today, our founding pastor and his wife here at Harvest have served as missionaries for some time now. I think we're working on 9 years that they've been serving with either the International Mission Board or now Samaritan's Purse in missions engagement. So they were with us in the video, and so good to see those faces. But as much as that, it's a great reminder of why we collect an international missions offering here at the end of the year, because it means the world. A dollar for dollar, 100% of what we give to this international missions offering, or is it sometimes called the Lottie Moon Christmas offering? If you're new, I don't want you to worry. It has nothing to do with Reverend Moon. It has nothing to do, as far as I know, it has nothing to do with Warren Moon. It has to do with Lottie. So it's not the NFL, and it's not Reverend Moon, not the Moonies. It's people living out Jesus around the world and sharing that grace along the way. And so, named after a missionary from many decades ago, her name was Lottie Moon. We'll learn more about her in the weeks ahead. We just wanted to challenge you this morning. We're in this season of international missions giving, but it's far more than that. We have a trip going to Haiti next year in May. You can be a part of that even this week. We're doing a fundraiser this week, Papa's Pizza. You've got info inside the bulletin on that. What we're doing is we're trying to raise funds for the project that we will do while we were there. We'll be replacing the covering over a walkway for the hospital and orphanage there in Limbe. We'd love for you to be a part of this fundraiser. It's a chance to hang out together a little bit. I believe, living room. I almost said it, but I got it right. Living room, right? Students are going to be there this Tuesday, and so come and be a part of that and support that. Of course, living out the mission of Jesus is something we do day in and day out in what we do. And so, you know, it's as much right here in our neighborhood, right here across the street pretty literally, as it is around the world. And so maybe you want to be a part of helping out with the homeless outreach that we do in December. I know numbers have updated a little bit since this went to print, but if I've heard right, we need about 15 more of these first aid to-go kits and about 15 more wool or knit hats or caps to come in. And you can bring those by the office in the next week. We will get those, and those gift bags are going to be assembled and put together. And I know that those gift bags for the homeless will be a tremendous blessing. Tony, how many of those are we building all together? 50. That's awesome. That's awesome. And so maybe you want to jump in and be a part of that. And then maybe you want to think about bringing someone with you Christmas Eve as a chance to share grace and share the gospel. Christmas Eve's going to be incredible this year. 2 services, 4 o'clock, 5:30. If you were here last week, you probably heard the news. We're moving both of our services that weekend to Christmas Eve. And so everything's happening on Saturday night, Sunday morning. We would encourage you to worship that morning with your family and lay your lives at the feet of Jesus as a family together at home. And so Christmas Eve, bring someone with you. Such a great opportunity to see someone come along that might not be open other times of the year, but might be willing to be here that night. One last thing I just wanted to mention. I should introduce myself. I didn't do that when I first popped up. I'm Brian. I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here if we've not met. But inside your bulletin's a communication card that we ask everybody to fill one out every week. We'd love it if you would fill one out, drop it in the offering basket. The reason we want everybody to fill one out is because we really want to know what we can do to walk with you. If we can pray, then please let us know and we will pray. If we can answer a question, then let us know that question and we'll do our best to get back to you about that. Or maybe you're ready to take a next step of faith of some kind. You're interested in jumping into a small group or serving in one of our ministries or being baptized. Any of those kinds of things, please let us know, and we would love to talk with you about that. Now, we're going to continue to worship Jesus today. As we do, let's go to Him in prayer. Jesus, we are so thankful for how good You are to us. We're thankful for the fact that You crossed the greatest distance ever so that we could experience grace, so we could know how loved we are, so that you could live in our hearts and literally change us from the inside out. So Jesus, today we worship you. Certainly we pray for Andy and Kay and their ministry. And pray your blessing on what they do with Samaritan's Purse and with the missionaries who serve with them around the world. We pray for your blessing on the many other missionaries we support. And in the end, Lord, we ask that grace would go with them as grace goes with us, so that every day we could live it out, and every day people would see you in them and see you in us. Jesus, we love you, and we pray in your name. Amen. You can have a seat. Wow, Lord. It is great to gather together to sing your praise and your power. And so Jesus, today we ask that those two things would happen in our lives and our hearts, that before we're done today, that your power would work in our life, that our souls would praise your name. So that today, Lord, we'd be changed because we were here. So Jesus, we're thankful. Thankful that we can be a part of what you're doing. Thankful that you reached out and literally grabbed our souls to make them yours. Thankful that you gave your life and took our place. And so Jesus, as gruesome as that cross sometimes looks, we thank you that you chose that. You chose us. And Jesus, we're thankful that you live again and you live in our hearts. So today we worship you. We seek you. Jesus, move in us. Speak to us as we worship you by studying your word. Jesus, speak. We'll listen. We pray in your name. Amen. So before we jump into the message, one other quick thing I just wanted to throw out there. It's great to have Ricky back. So, we have missed you, man. It's really good to have you back with the family. So Ricky has spent the last, how many weeks? 4 days short of 2 months, there you go, tending to his father in Tennessee and caring for him. And I think the amazing thing is, Dad's doing well. Yeah. Having a heart procedure this week, the fact that you can be here when that's happening is a testament to the Lord's work in your dad's life. We've been praying, we'll keep praying. We love you, brother. His office might or might not have gotten decorated a little bit while he was gone. I might not have had anything to do with that. I don't get credit for it. I didn't actually do it. I was just in on the discussion. Just saying. All right. So today we're going to finish a series we started months ago. We were in the beginning of summer. We started the book of James. talking about practical faith and how faith gets practical in our lives. Today, we're going to come to the end of James 5 and conclude that. And then next week, we're gonna do a little couple of week series called Finding Christmas. And so I know you'll want to be here for that the next couple of weeks. And although we said earlier that Christmas Eve's a great time to invite people, so are the next two Sundays. It's Christmas season. And so invite folks to be here with you and to come along. I think it would be a great opportunity for people to come along and hear the gospel and experience God's grace. We're going to find grace and find Christmas together. And so you might do this with me. Explore in your head and heart for just a moment your prayer life for just a second. Now let's be honest. How many of us just went, uh-oh? I mean, who really feels incredible about their prayer life? And I mean that in all honesty. I would imagine most of us at some level experience some guilt when it comes to prayer. Not because you came to church, but because we have this suspicion in our hearts that, well, I wish I prayed more. Or, I wish God answered my prayers more. Or, I wish when I prayed that things went the way I were hoping they were going. Maybe I read the room wrong just now, but I'm fully betting that most of us had a little hesitation when I asked that question. And so if you want to feel better about your prayer life, not for feeling's sake, but for God's work's sake, if you want to know that you can feel confident when you pray, and if you want to understand how prayer really works, because I'm going to be honest, I think that guilt we have about praying is because we often have a faulty understanding of what prayer really is. I'll explain that as we go through this. But open your Bibles with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I want to explore this together. James is going to go about this in kind of an interesting way. He has spent much of chapter 5 reminding the first verses of the chapter that those of us who have more financial means are responsible for what we do with that, the ways that influence is used for him and for the kingdom. And so he warns us, whether we're business owners or whether frankly, we just happen to live in a country that, to be honest, most of us are wealthier than the most of the world. What we do with that matters. And then he spent a section warning us about the need to persevere and how when we suffer, we have to rely on the Lord for that strength to go on, to go forward, to keep moving, to keep getting up day in and day out, to look to the Lord for that ability to keep working, keep living, keep trusting. And so today he's going to say this, James chapter 5, verse 13. He says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Kind of makes sense. You would expect to hear that at church, right? If any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? You've been wanting to tell me that for a long time. Brian, you're sick. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. So let me just stop there for a second, all right? Because really quickly, this little passage is going to get us caught up a little bit. And, oh, well, does that mean prayer doesn't work unless we use oil? Does that mean that you know, if someone's sick, are we not allowed to go to the doctor? What does all of that mean? And before we get to all of that, I just want to point out something to you. There's a version of Christianity that's out there that would love to say to you that if you pray enough and if you pray right, none of these things will ever happen to you. You will be rich. You'll never be sick. You'll always get what you want and life will always go your way. I have trouble reading that in James chapter 5. Because if I read it right, there were a lot of people who were praying who life wasn't going their way. And he wouldn't have said, if you're sick, then pray. Because they would already be praying. They'd already be healed. And we have this tendency to want to read this and go, well, man, if I just prayed right, I wouldn't be sick. If I just prayed right, I wouldn't have cancer. If I just prayed right, I wouldn't need back surgery. If I just prayed right, it goes back to that guilt we were talking about early on, that most of us think we just don't pray right. But I think we've been set up for failure in the way we read this. So let me dig into just those couple of verses for a moment, and then we'll move into kind of what the point of this whole message is. He says, look, if any one of you is in trouble, you should pray. That kind of makes sense. Reach out to God. In fact, most of us are pretty good when we get in trouble at praying. Trouble actually tends to increase the amount of prayer in our life. Right? And I would say, if you feel desperate, it's okay to pray. But don't make desperation the only time you pray or the only thing you pray. But if you're desperate, yeah, pray. Absolutely. But then he says, if any one of you is happy, he should pray too. Except he used the word praise there. Actually speaks of playing musical stuff. It's a musical term. So Jay, you're good. Few of you guys know how to pull that off. The rest of us are a little hosed, you know. Somebody asked, I was a part of a memorial service over the weekend. Somebody asked if I was going to sing, and I said, oh, gosh. Hadn't come to that, has it? Bad. But you know, I was singing this morning and praising the Lord, and that is in and of itself a form of prayer. Because we're communicating with God. And so prayer is not just, God, I've got trouble, will you help? Prayer is more than that. In all circumstances, he's speaking of here. And then he says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And so this little verse has generated a whole ton of discussion about, well, what does that mean? Does that mean only the people who are the elders have the effectiveness of prayer? I don't think so. Does it mean that if we don't pray with oil, somehow you're like, sorry, you're sick. If only you'd have prayed with oil. Like God sitting up in heaven going, you know, I heard all those prayers that were prayed on your behalf, but you didn't call the right people and you didn't use the oil. And since you didn't rub the magic genie bottle of oil, then you don't get what you want. I don't think that's the intent. I really don't. I think his point is pray. Now, is it good to call the leaders of the church and ask the leaders of the church to pray? You bet. If the leaders of the church aren't praying people, then we're doing something wrong. Is it okay to anoint with oil? I say absolutely. What kind of oil would you like? These days, oils are all the rage, right? Right? I mean, essential oils and coconut oil and peppermint oil and all these oils out there. Is it okay? Sure it is. What's the point? I think maybe that's a better question. Commentators would debate highly what the point is. I read several things this week. One says, well, the point was this. The other says, absolutely not. The point was not that. The point was this. I don't think either of you know for sure. I can say this, if you read Scripture, you find in other places that oil was used in a lot of ways. Oils was used ceremonially to anoint priests, to set them aside for the ministry that they would do. And so oil carries with it a symbolic element of a biblical word would be something like consecration, a setting aside, a asking of God to do something special, that it would bring a sense of anointing with it. And so some of us are going to read this and go, well, that's what this is. But there were other times where oil was used for medicinal purposes, that it was thought to be a healing element. In fact, if you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, right? The guy who was people would have thought was going to be the bad guy in the story turned out to be the good guy in the story, but he comes along someone who needs help, and it says that he applied oil to the wounds of the man who was injured, who needed help. That's because in that day, in that time, oil was thought to be medicinal. And so if you've ever wondered, can I pray and go to the doctor in the same breath? Yes. In fact, you can pray for your doctor. It's allowed. You say, what if my doctor doesn't believe? That's okay. Pray for him anyway. At surgery earlier this year, I told when we were in the room getting set up and, you know, getting IVs stuck in and tests run and stuff hooked up to you and all the stuff they got to do, I told everybody in the room, you've all been prayed for. You have people all over the country praying for you. I don't know if you're praying people, but you're being prayed for. Because I think prayer matters, and it makes a difference. So, does that mean that we have to use oil? That God doesn't hear it if we don't? I don't think so. Does it mean that there's value in that? If there's value in your heart, I'd say go for it. But pray. And the point is not the oil. The point is who we go to when we pray. Because the power is not in my ability to rub the magic genie bottle and say wiki, wiki, wiki and get God to somehow do what I want. The power is in the God we're praying to and for what He wants. So I think use every means possible. If you're sick, is it okay to take natural things, you know, vitamins and such to help you out? I'd say sure. Is it okay to see the doctor? Absolutely. But we seek God and the great physician who can heal on our behalf as well. So real quick, two big conclusions I think this text drives us to today. Two big conclusions. The first is that I need to connect with Jesus in all circumstances, right? Right? He says, if you're happy, then praise God. And if you're in trouble, then pray to God. And if you're sick, then get some more people praying for you. So all circumstances are circumstances where we should connect with God. I had a unique thing happen this weekend. I was asked weeks ago, really a couple of months ago, if I would do a wedding on Friday night. Sure, let me check the schedule, got that all figured out, scheduled the wedding, all of that. And then I got asked several weeks ago on Saturday, you know, we need to have a memorial service for Ralph Cook. And Ralph and Barbara have been members here at Harvest for several years, and wonderful people. And okay, yeah, we got that. So I'm doing a wedding on Friday night, doing a memorial service on Saturday afternoon. You're thinking like the extremes. I got to thinking to myself, most people would think one of those was really celebratory. But they were both celebrations, quite honestly. Celebration of new family, celebration of marriage, celebration of life, celebration that Ralph has gone home. He has been promoted. He has frankly received an upgrade. That he is where he should be and where his Savior is. And so in all these circumstances, they're circumstances we should communicate with God. It's similar to when Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, pray without ceasing. Like, that's kind of hard to do when you go to sleep. Although I have prayed while falling to sleep on many occasions. And I know I might get in trouble for that too. There are a lot of us who say it's kind of disrespectful to fall asleep while you're talking to God. I maybe that's the case, but I've fallen asleep talking to Marcy before. A few of you have fallen asleep while I'm talking before. You know, I don't take any of that personally, right? Right? I think it actually, especially in the nights where I can't sleep, is a wonderful opportunity to just talk to God about what's going on in my life. And if God happens to put me to sleep when I can't sleep, that's a good thing. All circumstances, we should pray, good, bad, or otherwise. And then number two, this really convinces us, what we're going to read next, is that we need each other, that prayer and community go together, that we're not meant to just be like an island unto ourselves where we do this on our own, that we really need each other. Just listen to the rest of what he says here. All right, verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, this gets real comfortable, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You get the community aspect of that? That there's a connectedness here? That we're not just on our own? We're to pray with and for each other, not just the elders of the church, the leaders of the church, but for the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Then he gives an example. Elijah was a man just like us, the prophet Elijah back in the Old Testament. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And my brothers, if any of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So it seems kind of disjointed that these things don't go together. But he's speaking of community and how prayer works in community. In essence, he's talking about how we help each other pray. How we help each other connect with God. And the bottom line is we really need each other. You know, church is not something we go to. As much as it seems like it, you come to church. Church is not what we go to. Church is who we are together. It's our connectedness with each other and that sense of how God works in us and through us as we connect together. Because we are the family of God and we are to be family to each other. It's why when Ricky is half a country away, we still feel a connection. Now, I don't know if you guys caught this, but on Facebook every Sunday morning, Ricky check in at Harvest. Just like, well, that's interesting. Like, maybe he's back and I didn't know. His heart was here. Because there's a connectedness in the family. And we are to be family to each other. So often church turns into an unhealthy environment, a toxic kind of place. You know, if you want a formula for how church can be toxic, I think it works like this. Go to church, don't be the church. Go to church so that my own needs could be met and ignore everybody else's. Give lip service to prayer. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you, but don't really do it. And then rinse and repeat next week. We're much more than that. We're family to each other. And we're to pray for each other. Which kind of leads me to this place. He says, right in the middle of this, that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Which again takes me sometimes back to the place of wondering, maybe I'm not as righteous as I should be. Because I've tried to pray powerful prayers and sometimes I've seen God answer those. And I've tried to pray powerful prayers and sometimes I've seen them go, let's use quotes here, unanswered. So maybe I may not be that righteous. Well, let's be straight. I'm not. I'm sick. I'm sinful. And I'm messed up. And without Jesus in my life, there's not much righteous in me. But God says that in Christ, I have His righteousness on my life and in my life. And in Him, He says I'm right. So I don't care if y'all say I'm sick or twisted or messed up or whatever you think. Jesus says I'm righteous. Not because of me, but because of Him. Does that make some sense? See, I think, again, the problem here is we have this flawed understanding of what prayer and answered prayer really looks like. And it leads me to ask, does prayer really work? Does prayer really work? And really, the whole thing, this whole message is about, I want to try to say this. Prayer always works. Prayer always works. We just have a faulty understanding of prayer. Now, again, does prayer work? Yes. Does prayer always work? I believe it does. Prayer always works. Do I always get what I want? That's a completely different thing. You're asking a different question. But prayer always works. But I don't always get what I want. Because the point of prayer is not to get what I want. And maybe the better question of, maybe better than does prayer work, the better question is, what is prayer? Well, at some level, simple level, I think if we can boil it all down, prayer is an ongoing connection and conversation with God. Doesn't that make some sense? Prayer is an ongoing conversation and connection with God. And so Jesus crossed eternity to connect with me. He gave his life so that I could be righteous, so that my junk and my sin could be forgiven, so that his grace could flood my life, so that I could be declared right and righteous in his name. And so with Christ in my heart, and truthfully with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in my life, I have an ongoing connection and relationship with God. A chance to communicate with God every single moment of my life, as though God were literally present right here, right now. It's kind of like this. It struck me this week. I was having a computer issue. A piece of software that I use regularly needed to be upgraded. And so I upgraded it. Now, wouldn't you know, as soon as I upgraded it, it launched, and then it crashed. And then I launched it again, and then it just hung there, doing nothing. Thankfully, it was not Windows, because when Windows crashes, then you're in a whole other mess of things. And a couple of you who are Mac people are like, see, that's what you get for, you know. But you know, Apples have problems too. I mean, hogwash, I've heard you complain to me about your computer. Hogwash, that's an okay term, isn't it? There are worse terms. I've seen you complain. Gail knows it, right? All right. So here's what I had to do. I had to call the company and say, I've got this problem. So I'm talking to the guy on the other end of the phone, and he says, well, did you try this? I said, let me tell you, here's what I did. I reinstalled it. I uninstalled it again. I reinstalled it again. None of that worked. He said, all right, let's check out a few things. Did you do this? Check this for me. I checked that. You do this for me. Did you check this? Okay, we checked that. No, that's not it. He said, it looks like we're going to need to do a remote access here because we're not finding what we need. So here's what I need you to do. Go to this web page. All right, it's going to log in there. It's going to give you a code. It gives you the code. You give me the code. I'm going to take over your computer, and then you're going to see me try to fix this. Is that good? Are you okay with that? I said, absolutely. You know more than I do. That's why I'm calling you. You fix this. So what happens, we put the code in, we do all the stuff. Have you done this before, remote access, somebody else? Now, you're watching somebody do something on your computer, you have lost complete control, stuff's moving around on your screen, and you're freaking out a little bit. Right? Because that was way too easy for somebody else to take control of my machine. Then it struck me. This guy's not God, but this is a lot like prayer. Because I'm talking to the person who really can fix things, and I'm talking to the person who's doing all the work, and I'm watching, and he's working. You say, yeah, but did it work? Well, it did, but I do need to call him again this week. But the point is not, did I get what I want? Did the sickness get healed? Did I get the raise? Did we get pregnant? Did whatever the thing we're praying for, you're praying for? The issue is not, did you get what you want? The issue is, did you connect and have a conversation with God? If you did, prayer worked. Prayer always works. Because God is always on the other end, and he's always listening, and he's always talking. You say, well, I've never heard his voice out loud. Well, neither have I out loud. But he speaks to me anytime I'm willing to listen. So here's what we think prayer is about. We think prayer is about getting God on my page, right? Right? God, here's what I need. Here's my list. Boom, 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 done. And if we look at prayer that way, that prayer is getting God on my page, God, here's what I need done, then we get to the end of it and we go, well, I don't know if it worked because like 2 out of 4 God answered. But prayer really is about something more. If we think prayer is about getting God on my page, the real truth is that prayer is really about getting me on God's page. And Jesus taught us this pretty clearly, right? Right? You remember that famous prayer Jesus started? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, what do we say after that? Yeah, your kingdom come, your will be done, thy will be done. We have turned prayer into my will be done. Right? Right? God, here's what I'm asking you to do. But prayer is more. Prayer is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's about getting God's will from heaven to earth. Not about getting my will from earth to heaven. Does that make some sense? And so we can look at prayer and say, well, does it work? Absolutely it works. And the connectedness in this text is telling us, in a sense, and maybe this sounds a little trite, but the church that prays together stays together. That we're really meant to be connected in that way. Which got me to thinking, well, how do we really pray for each other here at Harvest? So I started to write it down. I said, okay, well, here's what I got. We pray and worship. Some people call that the nap time. But we pray here in worship. Every single Sunday, we pray here in worship. It's meaningful. We pray as worship. You might not notice this, but every single Sunday you come to church, we sing. We're praising God. We're communicating with God. That is a form of prayer where we're talking to God. We just happen to be in that moment lifting Him up. We pray for worship. I would challenge you, before you come to church on Sunday morning, pray for what God's going to do here today. Pray for the worship team and what they do in leading us in worship. Pray for myself or whoever's speaking that might bring the Word of God to you. I think when we come prayerfully to worship, we hear more and we experience more. We pray in groups. We have groups that meet throughout the week. You meet on Mondays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays, meet in homes, meet sometimes here at the church, meet in places of business or meet in restaurants. We have groups who meet, and those groups pray. We pray in groups. We have ministries that pray, that gather together to serve in some way. They pray together. We have leaders who pray. We have leaders who pray on their own. We have leaders who pray together. And there's not a steward meeting. Here at Harvest, we call our leadership team stewards, because we steward what's been entrusted to us. There's not a meeting that happens that prayer is not a significant part of that. And really, it's kind of built around that. We have a prayer team. Oh, good. There are people that we've outsourced prayer to. It's not exactly how it works. It's not really the intent. But we do have a team of people who pray regularly and faithfully. And if you're in a place where you need prayer, personal prayer, you call us. And the team, or some form of the team, will come to you if need be. We've gone to hospitals to pray. We've gone to homes to pray. We've met people here and prayed. We've arranged for prayer after service on Sunday. We've laid on hands for prayer. I've seen oil anointed in the name of the Lord. We pray. And we show up in places where prayer is really needed. I mean, you know, I think the people at the welcome desk at the hospital know who I am. Because you come by and you say, I'm looking for so-and-so. You do that enough times. But I'm not the only one who goes to the hospital to pray, right? Right? In fact, the coolest thing of the world is when I finally hear and get to the hospital and pray, and you're already there praying for someone. Not you're already there being treated, but you're already there praying for someone, because God doesn't just hear the pastor's prayer or the elder's prayer or the leader's prayer. God hears everyone's prayer. You say, yeah, but I feel a little better. I mean, I've had people say it. I feel a little better when you're the one praying. Come on. Ricky's more righteous than I am anyway. It's not that the prayer only counts when it comes from the dude or the guy or the one who's got God's ear. When you pray, it matters. And when you pray, heaven listens. So I need people in my life who will pray in that way, who will pray for me when I experience problems, who will praise with me when I experience good, who will help me experience forgiveness and grace, who will call me on my junk when I'm wandering away and pray with me and for me. And he really outlines for us here some ways we help each other pray. So real quick, get practical. Let's wind this down. How do we help each other pray? Well, at some level, and this isn't a blank, but I would just say Nike's kind of onto something. Just do it. Instead of worrying so much about it, just do it. If you've got that guilt thing happening about when was the last time I prayed, stop the guilt, know that there's grace in Jesus Christ, and just do it. Just pray. Well, I don't know what to say. If Jesus Christ was sitting in front of you today, what would you say? Because he is. You may not see him, but he's there. He's listening. What would you say? Just do it. So how do we help each other pray? I'd say we do it four ways. We help each other pray, number one, by listening to each other's needs. Isn't it kind of obvious here that if someone's in trouble, then we should know that and pray for them? And if someone is praising God, they've got good things happening, we should know that and praise God for that. And if someone's sick, you gotta be in the loop to know and to pray. In fact, I've occasionally had people say, well, I was in the hospital and you didn't come pray. And I would say, well, I didn't know you were in the hospital. It's kind of hard to pray if I didn't know. Seriously, it's kind of hard. Prayer does work both ways, and I do listen to God, but rarely has God ever said to me, drive down to the hospital, so-and-so is there. But the phone has occasionally rung, and someone's been on the other line saying, hey, I'm in the hospital, or did you hear someone who was in the hospital? Don't assume. Call the office. Better yet, go yourself and pray. And bring the blessing of the Lord into what is happening there, and on your way, call and let us know. Listen to each other's needs. Be sensitive. Be there. Be thoughtful. You know, a lot of times we come to church, it's really easy to hear what we need to hear. You know, well, I've got this issue and I need this prayed for and there's this and there's that. But sometimes when we come to church on Sunday, maybe the reason we're there is because of the person sitting to our right or our left or in front of us or behind us. And when you and I begin to listen more, we discover all kinds of needs that are all around us that we can pray for. Number two, if we really want to help each other, then I'm going to say really pray and really follow up. Really pray and really follow up. Verse 15, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. So that means I've got to really pray it. I've got to really pray it in faith. God, you answer prayer. God, you are listening. God, you're really there. I'm praying to you, God. It says it will make the sick person well. We've tried to turn this into some kind of guarantee, and if it doesn't happen, then we didn't ask the right person to pray. We didn't anoint with the right kind of oil. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. If you're praying for someone who's sick, they will be made well in time. You say, well, I'm not well yet. God's not done yet. Keep praying. Keep praying. Is that a guarantee we'll be well in this life and this world? I think I'm made for another world where all will be well, whole, as it was meant to be. So really pray. But go the step further. When someone's sick and I say, well, I prayed for them, maybe it helps to make a phone call and say, are you feeling any better? I prayed for you today. It can be a super encouragement to someone to know that someone's praying for them. Really pray, really follow up. Number three, be forgiving and forgiven. Forgiving and forgiven. Verse 16 said, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess your sins to each other. That's just downright scary. Oddly enough, there's a branch of the church who has taken this and turned this into, well, you have to have formal confession, right? So you have to go to a priest, you have to confess to a priest. And I don't find that anywhere in this text. I'm pretty sure it said to each other. It said nothing about a priest. What I do know is Jesus said, if you've offended your brother or your sister, then go to your brother or sister and make it right. That's confessing your sins to each other. He says, if your brother or sister's offended you, then go to your brother or sister and seek for the Lord to work in that. And be willing to receive that confession. I mean, I can go to you all day long, but if the person I hurt is Ricky, Ricky's the one I need to be talking to. So that means I've got to be willing to be forgiven. Ricky, will you forgive me, bro? All right, thanks. That means I've got to be willing to be forgiving. Not that Ricky's ever done anything wrong, because he's more righteous than I am. Be forgiving and forgiven. And reach out to the weary and the wandering. The weary and the wandering. By the way, just so we're clear, he's got this whole thing in the middle of the text about Elijah. Elijah was a man just like us. Like, I don't know, it seemed like he was much more than a man just like us. The Elijah I read about, the prophet I read about, did incredible things I've never done. But he suffered just as we do. In fact, you might note, the prayer he prayed caused his own suffering. He prayed for there to be no rain, and there was no rain for 3.5 years, it says. But what's interesting to me is that we want to turn this into, well, all I got to do is pray and heaven will move and give me what I want. But really what was happening there is God was sending the drought and Elijah was getting on God's page. Doesn't that make sense? And when God said it was time to send the rain, then Elijah prayed and Elijah and earth got on God's page. It's not getting God on my page, it's getting me on God's page. And then he says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. There are times where we just wander. There are times where we feel like we blew it, we've got some guilt in our life, we wonder if anybody at church really cares, we skip a Sunday, we skip another Sunday. We skipped 3 Sundays, and now it's pretty comfortable to sleep in. And then we start wondering to ourselves, wondering to ourselves, does anybody really care? Does anybody even notice? So look around for a minute. Anybody you don't see that you usually see? Don't call me and tell me to call them. This is community. We're family to each other. It's not just the guy up here who God answers prayers to. And I'm not the only one who shows we care. We care. Right? Be family. Reach out. And do this, please, 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 please. The next time a wandering soul walks back through these doors, don't for the life of you say, well, look who's here. Boy, it's been ages since we've seen you. When was the last time you were? Don't do that. Because I promise you, if a wandering soul walks through these doors, and I hope and pray that wandering souls walk through these doors every Sunday, they need grace and love. Just like you and I do. Let's be that kind of family. Who says, yeah, I'd be glad to pray for you. We good? Let's bow our heads. Lord, I pray for each of us today. Pray that you would remove the guilt we feel about our prayer lives. And we would engage with you more in these days ahead. Lord, for the sick and the suffering among us, I pray that you would work. I pray that you would move. Lord, I pray that you would heal. We have folks battling cancer. I pray that you would heal. We have folks battling all kinds of other sickness. I pray that you would heal. And Lord, I believe this speaks not only to physical sickness, but to emotional sickness, to mental illness, to all kinds of other issues in our lives. Lord, I ask that you would heal and make us whole. And I thank you that one day, that will happen 100% completely. Lord, for those of us who are praising you, we praise with them and we celebrate together. And Lord, for those of us who need to begin that connection and that relationship with you, Lord, if anyone's here today and they need to receive your grace for the very first time, they want to be found by Jesus. Lord, I just ask that that person might pray with me now and say, just repeat after me in their hearts, dear Jesus, I've wandered for a long time. Come live in me, Jesus. Forgive my sins. Make me clean. Take over my life. And make me like you, Jesus. Help me talk to you every single day. Because you're right here inside of me. Lord, help us to tune in and be aware of that presence every day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad you are worshiping with us today. We always end our services with an offering here at Harvest. God is good, and he is the giver, and so we give back to him. But as we give today, I want to remind you of the communication cards we mentioned earlier. If we can pray for you in some way, does this sound familiar? Please let us know. On those cards, we'd be faithful to do that. Let's prepare our hearts to give.